Part 1. The Diary of Patrick Ingram. What does it mean to be alive? Does the humdrum of a beating heart constitute the sacredness of life? Is it conscious awareness that differentiates between ethereal and corporeal? Is it strictly opinionated as to what constitutes a person to be alive or dead? Life is held in such high regard and considered to be an infallible state of being with right or wrong answers, when the very essence of existence cannot be explained outside the structures of religious contempt or theorization of how the world came to be. It leaves little room for the macabre and sinister insinuations that exist within the structure of nature that has spent millenniums eating away at the rot and decay of flesh and bones as if it were a cancer eating away at a living and breathing being. The expansion of lungs and other autonomic bodily functions that sustain a human's meat suit became scientific reasoning of elaboration as an attempt to answer the deepest question that has burned within the hearts and minds of those consciously aware of their petulant and mere existence within the fabric of space and time on this planet. Within the infrastructure of debate and theological connotation, humans have lent the idea that life is covetable while death is inconvenient to the human psyche. Attempts at immorality have been made by varying cultures to sustain life into the afterlife, and for what? To gain some concept of everlasting life as religion perpetuates? Did our ancestors achieve this grandeur notion of everlasting life after trying and failing for so long? As the echoes of the past whisper on the wind, bouncing from the walls that talk, I can't help but think they did achieve something. The silent screams of those long dead reverberate from the floors of nature as the earth calls out in hungry vibrations, pulling energy in and releasing what it consumes in powerful ebbing waves that only those attuned to a certain frequency can pick up, as the rest of the world goes about their day as if the past doesn't lay buried dead beneath the earth they walk upon. Most parapsychology books barely delve into the bones of the earth. It never speaks of the constant cycle of life, death, and the afterlife that exists within the very grounds we tread upon. They don't explain that the very smell of petrichor is the perfume of death intoxicating your senses on rainy or moist days, where the groundwater mixes with the rain cycle and brings forth the decay that's buried within the mounds of bodies, both plant and animal, even human alike. Everyone skates around death as if the very mention of it would bring down his scythe upon the necks of the living and drag their souls to the pit in which he rests his head. Death was a familiarity to me, for the landscape of Foxwood Hills sang a siren's lullaby to those who would listen. No matter how beautiful the vast fields were, or how serene the rolling hills seemed to emanate, there was a placid, sinister grip that grabbed you by your feet the moment you stepped foot onto the land. The mirage of serenity that most felt while visiting, that had no perception or sixth sense to prickle the hairs on their neck, long passed down by our ancestors to avoid danger, disappeared once you entered the door of Ingram Manor. Within those walls that smelled like stale alcohol and permeating rot that couldn't be mopped away, those souls, whose bodies feed the earthen grounds of Foxwood Hills, called out in unrest and disdain. Not only do they call out, but they also lash out and grab onto those alive, feeding from their energies, like an IV bag full of pure adrenaline, to sustain the hunger that the land has left them in.